We call on the name of the Lord and there's freedom that is released. So right now we call upon the name of the Lord. We speak freedom for sons and daughters. We speak freedom for sons and daughters. We decree right now that our children and grandchildren, Lord, the freedom of the Lord, Father, as we partake of what you're doing here tonight, we call on the name of the Lord, not just for ourselves, but for our children, for our grandchildren, for our spouses, for our family members. We call on the name of the Lord right now. Father God, I thank you. Thank you, Father God. Yes, Lord, salvation to come to our households and deliverance to come to our households and deliverance to come unto you right now in Jesus' name. To God be the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Give God the praise. Give him the glory. He is faithful and he is consistent. He is persistent and he is consistent. He doesn't change. He doesn't change, you know. His word does not change. He does not change. So we find the truth in this word and we say, it's mine. I claim it. I'm hanging on to it. I claim it. I'm hanging on to it. In the mighty name of Jesus. It's how we become transformed. It's how we become transformed. Don't be afraid to shout in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil muzzle your praise. Don't let the devil muzzle your victory, your shout of victory. Oh, no. Nuh-uh. Not on my watch, devil. Not on our watch, devil. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. We are the family of God, and the Lord is with us, saints. The Lord is with us. Because the Lord is with us, we shall not fail. Because he is with us. Because the Lord is with us, we shall not be moved. We shall not shift. We don't shift like a moving, like a shifting shadow. We don't shift. No, instead we're persistent, we're consistent because that's who God is, right? Amen? That's who God is. That's who the Lord is. He's told us to be like him. And so, and we are like him. And when we're like him, we walk like him. We talk like him. We realize that he has come and he said, I have set the captives free. We are not captive to sin. We are not captive anymore to the world's ways. We have been set free. In other words, with anything you might struggle with, God's freedom is available for you. It's already yours. It's already yours. The freedom of the Lord is already yours. So you've already been given God's supernatural grace. You've already been given God's supernatural power to walk in truth, to walk in fire, to walk in Holy Ghost anointing. Amen? Amen, amen. So there's nothing like being in the house of the Lord. There's just nothing like being in the house of the Lord. We are in the house of the Lord. And God says, when you're in the house of the Lord, I fill you with dunamis power. You hear the word of God, I fill you with dunamis power. You're in God's house. Say, I'm in God's house. And I'm being filled with dunamis power. And I'm not going to short circuit. I'm not going to short circuit what God is doing. I'm being filled right now with dunamis power. Fill me, Holy Ghost, again and again. Lord, let me walk on fire. Let me be a fiery, burning one for Jesus. More than I was yesterday. More than we were yesterday. Hallelujah. Tonight we are celebrating. Oh, yes, we are. We're celebrating Pentecost weekend. That is what we do. Because why? Because we know what God is doing. And he says, remember. I want you to remember what I have done, saith the Lord. We are remembering what God has done. And we know that we celebrate Pentecost every moment of every day. The truth of it is we walk in it, right? We walk in the celebratory power and praise of God and in the fire of God. But yet, nevertheless, he says, I want you to mark some days out and like your birthdays, right? Like a holiday. Like we celebrate certain things. We acknowledge what God has done. We acknowledge that God has, he's done such an incredible job, such an incredible work when he came and he poured out his spirit, when he poured out the fire of God, the passion of God that transformed the church. We're not a dead church. We are alive. So we are alive in Christ, and we're unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? In Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Spirit has come upon you, yes and amen, and you shall be my witnesses." And you shall be my witnesses. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God comes upon you. We understand that there was that day when the Spirit of God came upon them and they received power, and they were witnesses and they went out. They were witnesses and they went to the four corners of the world to do that very thing, which is to share the love of Jesus. And we're called to do the very same thing, and we do the very same thing. But you shall receive power. Don't try to do anything outside of the power of God. If you try to do anything outside of the power of God, it will always fail. But if you call on the name of the Lord and say, "I need your power, Lord. I need your power, I need your strength, and I need your discernment, your wisdom." Oh, he gives it to you each and every time. Amen. Every single time. There is nothing that we can't do that God has called us to. In the life of believers, we are called to live a life steadfast in the Spirit. We are called to start in the Spirit, and we're called to end in the Spirit. We're called to be vessels that understand, in me there is nothing good, but it's the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of me that now is what operates and how I am led, how we are led. We are led by the Spirit of God, correct? So if we're led by the Spirit of God, and we understand that when in Acts 1:8, it says, "But you shall receive power." But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Well, the Holy Spirit's come upon us. And the Holy Spirit comes upon us continually as we ask. And we ask, and then we receive, right? So it was the birthing of the church. See, it was the baptism of the church. They were birthed because of the power of God. This is the birthing of our lives as well. There are some things that God has already birthed in your lives, but there are some things that are not birthed yet, and he wants to birth. There are some birthings, there's some things he wants to give, and those things are going to come as you understand the move of the Spirit. Did you really think that everything God had for you was already explained and spoken and done? Because that's not true. There's so much more. See, we serve a God that is outside of time, outside of, he's outside of time. He's outside of space. He's not limited and he's not boxed in. So that kind of a God, do you really think that he's already said everything to you that he's going to call you to do and that's it? Do you believe that there's so much more? Do you understand that sometimes it's our own thinking that limits what he's doing? Not because he can't, but because we put the block. We put up a wall or a block, right? And it's like he's saying, "I want you to come and I want you to receive with an expectation." Expectation causes you to receive things you didn't even know were possible to receive. An expectation that God's going to move. An expectation that if he came on the day of Pentecost, and if he came and they were told to wait, but they were still surprised. They had no idea. There was no way they could have been prepared for what they were about to experience. Well, don't you know God's the same? There are things that he wants to have you encounter, you experience. There are some things he wants you to experience that you're not really prepared for. You don't even know. You do not understand what he has for you. But what he wants you to know today is that, number one, of course, he's good. But number two, he wants you to know he wants to just lavish you with his love, and he wants to lavish you in abundance. Now, are you ready to receive that abundance? 100% yes. 100% yes. So even as I speak the word, I've been speaking the word. Even as I speak the word, what happens is you come alive. Because the word is alive. And so as I speak the word, for many of you, there's a fire that's stirring on the inside of you. There's a fire that's kind of just stirring, and you're going, "Oh, okay, I know what she's saying, and I'm being led by the Spirit. I get it." And there's a stirring. You could say it like this. There is a burning on the inside of your spirit, man. That burning is the Spirit of God that's leading you to something new. He is saying, "I've got my finger upon you." In other words, you've been marked out. Amen. The enemy wants you to think you're not marked out, but you're marked out. Every one of you, you have been marked out. Amen? And so as I speak the word, There's a fire. Lord, I'm asking you for the increase of the fire. Even as I speak this word, Father, let the increase of your fire be upon them, be within them, be on top of them, be all around them. And we thank you, Father, for what you're doing here. Amen. Amen. And just like the Lord, you know, became so real to Moses when he had that burning bush experience. You remember, like, just like, you know, just that burning bush experience when he was in front of that bush that was burning, and yet it didn't. It's like he saw it and it transformed him. He even heard God speak. That burning bush experience changed the man.
Lord, because of faithful partners like you, we are now in so many homes throughout the world, north, south, east, and west. God is expanding this ministry. I am just in awe. I wanted to take a moment right now and just thank you and encourage you as you continue to sow your seed. And for some of you, prayerfully consider becoming partners with us at this ministry, because lives are being changed. People are getting saved, healed, and delivered. Men and women of God are being fostered up, being raised up to stand for truth. So partner with us on a monthly basis as the Lord leads, because the seed that you sow in the ground is for the eternal purposes of God. Amen. God bless you. Let's get back to the teaching.
Completely changed the man. Something he could not have conjured up on his own, something that was so out of the box. But God did it because that's what he needed to do for that situation, right? That burning bush experience changed the life of one man that then went on to change the lives of people thereafter. The Pentecost experience changed the lives of those 120 that were in the upper room. They were in the upper room and they were waiting, because they were told to wait and to tarry until the Spirit of God, the power, came. They did so. And they did not have any kind of a paradigm of what was about ready to happen, but they trusted that the Lord, who is good and faithful and a good God and a good Father, based on what they learned from Jesus when he walked on earth, they trusted. And because they trusted him, the Lord, right, the power of God could rest upon them and radically, radically transform them. Our lives are to be radically transformed, and it's not just a one-time occurrence. It's not just a one-time occurrence. Like, we live with an expectation that every moment, every day, our lives are to be transformed. Amen?
Amen.
And so I am referring to Pentecost weekend, and that was 50 days after the resurrection of the perfect Lamb of God. 50 days after that resurrection, Pentecost, here we are. We celebrated Easter not that long ago, 50 days ago, right? And here we are celebrating the birth of what Jesus had already spoken would happen. Now it's happening. Amen? Let's turn to Acts in chapter 2, because Luke, the physician and the one who wrote the book of Acts, tells us about this birthing. In Acts in chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 1. And it says here in verse 1, Acts 2 and 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to play church. I haven't played church. I don't play church. Fully. We will be more undignified than this. Fully. Not caring what it looks like or sounds like. I'm not saying we're going to be, you know, out of, I'm not saying we're going to be unbiblical and unscriptural, but we cannot allow the enemy to put us in some kind of a bondage or some kind of a cage, right? When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. There was a spirit of unity. They were all in one accord and one place, which is why, you know, we do. I pray, I speak, I teach on unity so much, because that is so important for the blessing of God to come and overwhelm us because of the unity, right? So they were all of one accord and they were all in one place, because God knew what he was about ready to do. He knew what he was about ready to release. So he waited till they were all in one place, and he waited till they were all in one accord, in unity, and then he said, now. Now is the day. And so, and suddenly, verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And what were they doing? They were all in the upper room, just waiting, believing God. They may have been talking about the experiences that they had with Jesus when he walked and talked with them. You know, they may have been worshiping and singing, you know, but they were waiting, and they were fellowshipping. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. I can just imagine them all looking around. Where did this sound come from? A sound from heaven. And it explains this sound that came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It wasn't just a mighty wind, it was a rushing mighty wind. That's powerful, isn't it? A rushing mighty wind did something. That rushing mighty wind filled the whole house. That's the wind of the Spirit filled the whole house. Well, the wind of the Spirit is filling your whole house right now. The wind of the Spirit is transforming you on the inside right now, giving you that sustaining power, giving you that ability to say, oh, man, Lord, I thank you. I am unashamed of the gospel. I thank you. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. The old ways have no power over me anymore. They don't have any power over you anymore. Don't give it power, right? It filled the whole house where they were sitting, and then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. It appeared. It wasn't a figment of their imagination. They were not just imagining this. It appeared. It says here that tongues of fire, divided tongues of fire, and literally it says, and one sat upon each of them. Every one of them caught the Holy Ghost. They caught the Holy Ghost. That's what needs to happen. See, people go, oh, I caught a cold. I caught this. I caught that. I caught whatever, you know. How about just catch the Holy Ghost? Why don't you just catch the Holy Ghost and be done with the rest of it? We just need to catch the Holy Ghost is all we need to do, and we become transformed. The other stuff just falls away, just falls by the wayside. But I'm telling you, I know a place, and that place is in the center of the will of God, where everything is transformed in my life, in our lives. Amen. And so we're going to catch the Holy Ghost, meaning we're going to get filled again and again. Fill the house. The tongue, divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. He didn't leave anybody out. They were all filled. God doesn't leave anybody out. Now, he wants you to be open. He'll knock you down if he has to. He did that for Saul. But then he also had to blind them. So maybe don't go that route. And maybe just be open and sensitive. And Lord, I'm not saying that I need to be crazy and wild like some of them, but I want to lay down any place where just fear or I'm trying to look normal, I'm trying to look like everybody. Just forget all of that. Just be open and hungry and just say, Lord, you created me and I want to do what you've called me to do. So it's not about me. My focus is on you. See, when our focus is on Jesus and not about us, everything changes because he's given that permission. Your spirit is at one with him. And see, when that happens, you become really set free because the old ways, the strongholds, and they are strongholds that try to keep you bound in a certain way, they're not serving you well. Strongholds don't serve you well. Not when they're demonic ones or even just fleshly ones. Not everything is demonic. Some things are just ways of the flesh, things you've gotten used to. You know, I've got to act a certain way. Well, wait a minute. What is the Lord saying right now? He wants you to walk in freedom, right? And so it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And I feel like right now I'm just going to have you all start to speak in the Spirit. Speak in your heavenly language. This is the language that God has given you. Therefore, it doesn't need an interpretation because you're not speaking to anybody in this room. You're not relaying a message from God. You're speaking to God. It's your prayer language. It's you and him. We're just doing it corporately. Just you and him. Thank you, Father. Go ahead and just start speaking in your heavenly language. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. I speak freedom over them. Hallelujah. Thank you for Pentecost. Thank you, Lord God, that we get to walk in Pentecost day by day, moment by moment. Thank you for the tongues of fire, Lord God, that are being set apart. We're being set apart. The tongues of fire are being set upon them, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Pastor Kim, Lord's filling you with more joy. He's filling you with more joy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Abba. More in Jesus' name. More. And so in that back row, I think your name is Raylin or something. Raylina. Yeah. Okay. Raylina. What I saw when we were praying, what I saw on you, I saw such a passion, a tenacity from the Lord that's falling upon you right now, and timidity is going out the window. Okay, fear, timidity is fear, fear of man, just being very apprehensive about things. It's going out the window. God is removing it right now. So Father, right now, I'm going to have you just stand up. Would you just stand up? Father, I only call out what I see, and I see the timidity, but I also saw what you were doing. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, let the fire of God right now just burn through in any place of fear and timidity, and we command that thing to be removed from her in Jesus' name, all places of fear, every place where she has had her mouth shut, where she has not been able to speak, though she wanted to and knew she was supposed to. I command those to go right now in Jesus' name, and I thank you that the glorious fire right now, the tenacity of your fire upon her, new woman in Christ. You are a new woman in Christ. Father God, I thank you. She's going to be shocked. She'd be like, wow, I can't believe I walked into a service and boy, power of God touched me and I've never been the same. You are never going to be the same. There's a boldness and a holy assurance. It's coming upon you right now. It's a holy assurance. Oh boy, do we need that. A holy assurance. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Yes. He's going to transform the people that he's called you to minister to. Because there are some things he's been wanting you to speak. And there was like a muzzle upon your mouth before, but there's now, there's a release. You're going to speak, you're going to hear, you're going to speak what God's called you to speak. And there's some people that are going to change. There's some people that are going to change. Mm-hmm. Yep. Give her that wisdom that goes along with it, Father. Give her that wisdom. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. So this is what took place. We know it. We've read it many times. But here's the thing. Do you walk in it all the time? I think that there's room for improvement for every single person. Room for improvement, not in our own ability, but room for improvement, meaning surrenderedness and an expectation and a holy expectation for more Jesus, more. And we know this is the will of God because when you turn to Ephesians 5 and 18, you can turn to Ephesians 5, 18. It tells us in Ephesians 5 and 18 that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? But when you read it, it says to be, and in the Amplified, it talks about being continually filled, or be continually filled and guided by the Holy Spirit. There's a version that says, be continually filled and guided. So you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but unless you are guided by the Holy Spirit, it's like that's only half of the picture. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but we are to be guided by His Holy Spirit as well. So it takes an understanding, a sensitivity, that as I'm filled with the Spirit, I also have in my mindset an understanding that I want to be led or guided by Him. So I always make that a priority, not just go into my natural mode of, I know what I need to do next, but how about Holy Spirit guide me, right? So, because we talk about the infilling a lot, right? And we need to be filled, be ye continually being filled, but we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. There's too many Christians that are guided by their own thoughts, by their own experiences, right? They're guided by tradition. They're guided by just things that the way we've always done it this way. Why would we change? We've always done it. They don't even question. I'm sure we all fall in this area from time to time, and we don't even know it. I think we all do. But Lord, show us, because what we want to do is be filled with the Holy Spirit, but we want to be guided by the Holy Spirit at all times, instead of thinking that we're guided by the Holy Spirit, but actually guided by our own natural ways. We don't want to be guided by our natural ways. We want to be guided by the Spirit of God because He always leads and guides into truth, all truth, right? He leads and guides into all truth. So we want to be led and guided by Him, filled and but also led, which means guided by the Holy Spirit. So in Ephesians 5 and 18, it says, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is something I choose. And to be filled with the Spirit is something that of course, after you've chosen, you've tasted and seen, it's all you ever want, right? But you choose to do this. And let's turn to Galatians 5:25. Galatians 5 and 25. Because in this scripture, it talks about keeping in step with the Spirit. So if you take these two scriptures, let me read this scripture first. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. They go hand in hand. To be filled with the Spirit, but then also to be guided by the Spirit. They go hand in hand, right? And so when we look at Ephesians 5:18 and when we look at Galatians 5:25, it talks about being filled, but it talks about being guided, being led by Him. Not led by a familiar spirit, not led by some unholy spirit, but led by the Holy Spirit every day, moment by moment. If we live in the Spirit, let us also. So there's a choice to be made here. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We don't want to walk in the ways of the flesh. We don't want to walk in the ways of men. We want to walk in the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, we're going to also choose to make good choice. We're going to make good choices to walk in the Spirit. Amen? And in Luke 3:16, we can turn to Luke 3:16. It's what just took place. It's what takes place a lot every time we meet. In Luke 3:16, John answered, and he said to all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you." It says, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's the Spirit of God that baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Holy Spirit, holy fire. Holy Spirit, holy fire. Not strange fire. Holy Spirit, holy fire. Amen? Purifies whatever needs to be purified and then sets you ablaze to walk in Him and with Him so that you become all that you're called to be, so that you are a vessel that gives glory to God, that lives are changed because of what God has done in you. And you say, "Yes, I'm going to give glory to God. Yes, I'm going to be one that gives wisdom. Yes, I'm going to give wisdom that comes from God, not earthly wisdom," right? So when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire, this is what Jesus did. This is what John is saying. Hey, I'm baptizing you with water, but when Jesus comes, when the Holy One comes, it's all different. It's like a whole nother level. But Jesus came. He came and he ascended and he poured out in that upper room. And he said that we're all to receive this infilling and to do so continually. So it's important that we get this in our spirit, man, and not just in our understanding, but we catch it in our inner man, in our inner witness. So before they were all filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit would come upon them to do a certain task. They, like in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon them to do a task. But when the Spirit of God came, when Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit came, then the power of God was able to indwell and fill them from the inside. And let me tell you, we need both. We need the Holy Spirit coming around, but we need the indwelling fire that doesn't ever leave. Amen? How many of you want that every day, moment by moment? All the time, yes and amen. We do, and we need it. We need it. Let's turn to Luke 24. Luke 24. And let's see. I'm going to read here in verse 32. This portion of scripture is when the two disciples were traveling on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection of Christ, and then Jesus appeared to them. In verse 32, as they're traveling, they're walking down this road, they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while we talked with one another on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?" Did not our hearts burn? Oh, our hearts will burn as we open the scriptures, as we know that he is walking alongside us. Let's jump up to verse 28. They drew near to the village where they were going. He indicated Jesus, okay, indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, holy. He took bread, the living bread, took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, representing his life that was broken for us. Did you know that in this passage of scripture where he's talking about the fire of God, because their hearts were burning within them, it's because the bread of life was literally broken, and now the bread of life was walking with them, causing an internal inferno. It came to pass, verse 30, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, he blessed, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. Jesus is giving you bread right now. Jesus is giving you the word. Right now you're receiving the word. You're taking the word in just by hearing it. You're taking the word in just by looking at it. Amen? And so then their eyes, look at what happened when they took the word, the bread, the word, the bread, the living bread, the manna from heaven. It says, then their eyes were open. Not before. Their eyes were not open before. But after. As the word is spoken, your eyes are being opened. As the word is spoken right now, literally there's an understanding that's happening on the inside of you so that you don't walk out of this place blind to the things that the Lord wants you to be, to have, the Lord wants you to have sight for. You will have sight for the things he's called you to have sight for because you're hearing the word. That's how powerful the word is. That is how powerful. Then their eyes were opened. And they knew him. They didn't know him before. They mistaken him for the gardener. They're like, I don't know who you are. Didn't you hear what just took place? They did not know. They didn't even recognize his voice. But when he broke bread, they recognized. Their eyes were opened. Oh, boy, is that what we need? We need our eyes to be fully opened, fully in every area of life. Not just the understanding of walking in the Spirit, but in every area of life, we need our eyes opened. We need the Lord to open our eyes so that we parent better. We need our eyes. We need the Lord to open our eyes so that our marriages can be better, so our relationships can be better, so that we are better students, better employees, better bosses, better friends. We need the Lord to help us to open our eyes. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? What took place? The breaking of the bread and the scripture came to alive. As the scriptures were being read, their eyes were being opened. There's no reason why there should be any blinders upon you when the word is being spoken and you are receiving it. And so they rose up that very hour, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Indeed, the Lord is risen. Well, they knew that before, but they didn't really know it. Now, what they thought they knew, they really know. There are some things we thought we knew, but we really didn't know it. But God is about ready to make you confident in what he's called you to know. And when you walk confidently, you walk differently because you're fully convinced. And when you're fully convinced, you're not going to be able to be unconvinced. You know what I'm talking about? You won't be able to be unconvinced because you fully have been filled and now walking with the truth, guided by the Spirit, because your eyes are opened, because you've taken of his word. So they rose up in that very hour. They went on and they said, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road. They told of what took place. They told of the things that had happened. Some of us would do well if we take this word that I just spoke unto you and do it. Tell of the things that have happened. Share your testimony. Some of you, don't give me, I don't know what my testimony is. What did the Lord do right now in this service, right this very moment? That's your testimony. That is a testimony. That's a testimony of yours. Tell of what God did. When I went to church, and man, the power of God came upon me. Don't minimize or already have a preconceived idea as to what they're going to say or think. Give them the opportunity that you have received. Whether they receive it or not is not your, it's not your business. It's not your concern. It's your responsibility to speak truth and to share and to let your testimony speak. If you really are unashamed of the gospel, then you will do it. Amen. You will entice people to be drawn near to Jesus. You will entice people to literally just come and understand the move of the Spirit. They'll see your walk and they'll know. Well, they're not unstable. They're not like some that claim, you know, a Holy Spirit, but yet they're not people of character. No, you're people of character. You're people of good and godly character, but you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're filled with the love of God. You're filled with the truth of God. And so your testimony and you speaking it and what God has done is important to be shared by you, right? So they said, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them by the breaking of the bread. They explained it. They spoke it. They decreed it. And what happened? That what happened is their lives changed. These people went on. They went on to write. They went on to share the gospel. They went on. Many people got saved and set free because these people understood. Share what you know. Give what you have been, what you have received. Just give. You may say, I don't know that much. It doesn't matter. What do you know? You all know your own experience. So you give what you know. You know whatever word you know, you give that word. And the Holy Spirit wants to fill you with more. Why? Because he wants to commune with us. He wants to commune. That's what he did on the road to Emmaus. Communed with them. He wants to commune with us consistently, all the time. All the time. When he communes with us, we're the ones that receive the benefit. When he communes with us, because we commune with him, because he's always waiting for us, right? He's waiting for us. He's saying, draw near to me. God says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. He's waiting on us. When we do this, we get filled with the joy of God. We get filled with the joy of the Lord. We get filled with the peace of God. We get filled with the life-giving power of God. We get filled again and again. And I'll tell you right now, you may say, how many times are you going to get filled? Every moment of every day. Every moment of every day, we need to be filled. And if you have a problem with that, well, then you know what? I would look at your life. And I think if I was to look at your life and inspect areas of your life, and if you have a problem with the understanding that we need to be filled consistently, right? If you have a problem with that theology, and you go, oh, no, one filling is enough, then I would look at your life, and I'm pretty sure I would find a pretty hard, unhappy person that's just filled with themselves and not very happy, frustrated, you know? Why? Because we were designed by God. We were designed by our Creator to be continually filled with the power of the Spirit. Why? Because our dependency could never be upon ourselves, but always upon him. It's too easy. It's way too easy for us to get comfortable and then to become complacent. If you think the power of God that you got filled with one time is enough to carry you for a lifetime, well, then I'm pretty sure that very same person is a person that is also depending upon themselves to accomplish anything, which always leads to frustration. It'll always lead to frustration. But instead, when you understand the mindset of being continually being filled, you remain as one that is dependent upon him, humble before him, right? Expectant to before him. And he fills you and he shows you how you can do things you never thought you could do and some things you didn't want to do. But if he calls you to it, you say, okay, I'll do it because you're going to be with me and you're going to equip me. You're going to fill me with knowledge. You're going to fill me with understanding. You're going to fill me. That's what he's doing. He fills us. You're being filled. How do you have a good marriage? You get filled. The Holy Spirit. How do you become a good friend? You get filled. How do you become a good one that walks with the Lord? You get filled with the Holy Spirit. Because he's saying, I want you to go this way, but you're filled with the Spirit, so you go this way. Instead, you got people that are going the opposite way, and God's like, I want you to do this, and they're going this way. But what about this? I want you to do this. And they're walking the opposite direction. Be filled and be led. Be filled and be guided by the Holy Spirit. And that is something we need to expect every day and moment by moment of every day. We need him. We need Jesus. We need the power of Jesus. We need salvation. We need the power of Jesus. We need his hand upon our lives, and we need it all the time. There's no way that we can be who he has called us to be if we do not depend on the power of the Lord. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing because then we know he gets all glory. He gets all credit. In Romans 15:13 tells us how the Holy Spirit brings us joy and brings us peace. And it has nothing to do with what's going on outside or in the world, current events. Nothing to do with that at all. But everything to do with what the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit does on the inside of a believer. Romans 15:13, it says, now, and this is my prayer, now may the God of hope fill you. Do you see how many fillings we've been talking about? How many scriptures that talk about filling? Now, not someday or maybe tomorrow. But now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. As you believe his word, in believing. So we set our hearts to believe his word. We say, Lord, show me your word. Teach me your word. I want to believe your word. And as we do that, it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound. You need to believe what the results are going to be. It says that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your job is to believe that the word of God is coming to pass in your life. That you would believe that the power of the Lord will abound. Not just have a little bit of power, but abound. We should be abounding in power. We should be abounding in hope. We should be abounding in peace. This is the word of the Lord. We're eating of this word right now. You are hearing, but you're eating of this word. As you're hearing this word, you're taking it in, which means you're being fed, right? You're being taught this word. You're being fed this word so that you can hang on to this word, so that you would abound over and above. Above what's normal, what's average. You weren't called to be average. We were not called to be average. We were called to be supernatural. We were called to walk with the supernatural God and be supernatural ourselves. So if he said it in his word, we have every right to claim it, to believe for it, right? Yeah. And the last scripture is 2 Corinthians 3:17. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Because the Holy Spirit brings freedom. Not lawlessness, but freedom, right? Now, again, now the Lord is the Spirit. Now, I thank you, Lord Jesus. It's not something that was like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you know, but it's now. Now. So it means it's fresh. That means it's fresh manna every day. That's what that word now. Fresh manna every day. Now, it says, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit of the Lord is right here with us. The Spirit of the Lord is right here, right now, with us. So the Spirit of freedom, his freedom, is ours. You've been filled tonight, the power of the Spirit of God. You've been filled, you've been touched by the power of God, which means you're transformed. For some, you can see it, you felt it, you experienced it, and you know. And you can even articulate what just took place. You may not understand it, but you know, wow, power of God, I felt this fire. I felt this. It's like I never felt this before. Some of you, many of you have felt this many times. But for some, maybe you didn't feel anything. And we know that we don't go by feelings. We know that we go by faith. We know that God moves every time we say, come, come, Lord, have your way, come, do unto me. We take it by faith. But we do know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom for you to walk as a Christian that's on fire and unafraid and unashamed. One that is not bound by an old pattern, not bound by something of the past, but instead the freedom of the Lord to be the best person that God has called you to be. Right? That's what we're called to do, to give him glory, to have hope. Even in a hopeless world, we have hope. Amen. We have hope because we have Jesus. He is our hope. We have hope because we know how the story ends. We have hope because we know that our Redeemer lives. We know that it is the power of Jesus in us that's going to accomplish what he's already called us to do. Amen?